Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verses 22 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Let's finish on verse 26 together. Ready? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our country. Thank you for those that are here who have served their country, and yea, some still are serving. Father, early this morning I thought of our young men and ladies over in the Middle East that are still fighting, some fighting for their lives. Father, please bless them. God, you have chosen this country for a reason, to bless it like you have. May we today learn from the Word of God how to keep that blessing here. Fill our preacher with your power, please, and may we listen with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time this morning. I'll read a verse to you. You don't need to turn to it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It has been our privilege and honor to see a modern-day miracle and hero, Mr. Buckles. 102 years old, a World War I veteran, a World War II POW, 38 months in captivity. What an amazing thing. I studied a little and found a little history about POWs. Did you know that in World War I there were 7,470 POWs, people that were captive, kept prisoner against their will? In World War II there were 124,079 prisoners of war. During the Korean War, there were 7,140 that were POWs. During the Vietnam War, and I hate to say it, but the numbers are a little unstable about how many actual POWs there were, how many missing in action, but somewhere around 2,210 during the Vietnam War. Recently, we have the Jessica Lynch story and other stories, our war with Iraq and against terrorism. You know anything about a POW, that prisoner of war, the stories can be horrible. The torture that they would be put through, the abuse, the mistreatment, the loneliness. Now, may I turn toward a spiritual direction, please? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it mentions that there are people who have been taken captive by the devil, which then indeed makes them the devil's POW, prisoners of war to Satan himself. I don't know if you realize it, but throughout the Bible there are stories of people that were taken prisoners of war. For instance, in Genesis chapter 14, there was a man by the name of Lot, and Lot was taken as a prisoner of war. He lived in a city that is historical. We've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a wicked city. Lot was the nephew to a man by the name of Abraham. Five kings had unified their armies and attacked this city called the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. When these five kings attacked, they conquered this city called Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took POWs. And Lot was a prisoner of war to those five kings. As the story concludes, Uncle Abraham took his men, got them together, and went down to the POW camp and busted Lot out. But Lot was a POW. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel was a prisoner of war. Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. Now that was Daniel's homeland. Nebuchadnezzar had attacked Judah. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the enemy. And he conquered Judah, and he took POWs. Daniel was a POW to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, later on, Nebuchadnezzar was knocked out of power, and a king by the name of Darius took over. And now, Daniel is a POW, and it is Darius that is his captor. Well, Daniel was a Christian man, and he prayed three times a day. And there was a decree set out that nobody was to do that. And Daniel, as a POW, was tortured for praying three times a day to his God. You say, what kind of torture was it? Well, in this story, they threatened him and said, if you continue to pray three times a day, we're going to throw you into a den with wild and vicious and hungry lions. And they did. They took the POW, the Christian named Daniel, and threw him into the lion's den, expecting that he would be torn to shreds. But God created the lion, and God speaks in feline, and God was able to say to those vicious lions that they should become kitties and not hurt Daniel, and they didn't. But this was a time of war, and it is a time when Daniel was taken as a POW. You go to Daniel chapter 3. The same instance, it was King Nebuchadnezzar that had come to the land of Judah, and there were three young men. Many think they were teenagers. I think they must have been older teenagers. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew children, as we often say, they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar as well. And the king of their time said this: You are to fall down when a certain music plays throughout my kingdom. You are to fall down and worship a golden image that I have set up. There was only one problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these were Christian boys. They worshiped Jehovah God. And when they were told to bow down to this false god of gold, they said, "No way, Jose." That's in the Greek, just so you know. "No way, Jose. We're not going to do it." And so the music played, and everybody in the kingdom began to bow down. But three fellas, they were probably graduates from Martinsburg Christian Academy, they said, "We don't bow. We're not going to bow down to that golden calf." And they grabbed them and said, "Then you will be tortured as a POW. Say, how did they torture them? They had a furnace there. And the king said, "Fire up the furnace and make it extra hot, because we're going to burn those three Hebrew boys." And the boys said, "We'd rather burn than bow." Ushers, make sure you help me now. The boys said, "We'd rather burn than bow." And so they stoked up the furnace and made it as hot as they could personally make it, and as hot as they could get it. They grabbed those three Hebrew boys as POWs, and when the soldiers went to throw them into the furnace, the fire was so hot, the soldiers, the enemy soldiers, were consumed. It burned them to death. And the three boys got thrown into the furnace. The captor, the man that was behind taking these three Hebrew boys captive, was looking into the furnace, and he said, "Hey, fellas, how many people did we throw into that furnace?" And they said, "Three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He said, "Come here. Do you see four inside the furnace?" And the other soldiers came over and said, "There's four in there, but we only threw three in." And the captor said, "The fourth looks to me as if it's the Son of God." And it was. And while those three boys were thrown in the furnace to burn, Jesus pulled it. He went in with them. He said, "Fellas, pull up a chair. Warm your hands for a little while. In a minute, I'll get you out of this mess." And those boys walked out of that furnace unscathed and unburned. Hey, I've heard of the POW stories in the wars of history. So many times has God stepped in and salvaged them. Don't you think that it's odd that God stepped in and saved those boys from the furnace? Hey, 7 a.m., Mr. Buckles and all of his men were to be executed. But at 6:45, God had the angels call the Air Force come in and drop the 11th Airborne in so they could come in and salvage a bunch of people that God loved. Throughout the Bible, you see many prisoner of war stories. You know, the worst war of history was not the war that was fought with Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It was not the Revolutionary War. The worst war in history was not the Civil War or World War I or World War II. The worst war of history past was not the Korean War, the Vietnam War, wasn't the Persian Gulf War or the War on Terrorism, wasn't even the Battle of Your Bulge. Though that is quite a battle sometimes. The worst war in history was fought in heaven. It's found in Isaiah chapter number 14. It is a war that changed the course of events for all of mankind. You see, Lucifer was in heaven. In case you did not know, Lucifer at one time was one of God's archangels. Lucifer was in heaven, and he got his pride rose up, and he decided that he would turn on God. While in heaven, Lucifer turned on God, and he corrupted one-third of heaven's angels. And he said, we're going to turn on you, God, and he began to exalt himself above very God. And the Bible says when the war broke out, God ended up having to throw Lucifer and one-third of heaven's angels out of heaven. Lucifer became the enemy of God. To this very day, Satan hates God and constantly commits terroristic acts against God and his creation. All pain of any sort that any person's ever suffered is a part of that historical event back in Isaiah 14 when there was a war in heaven and God had to kick Lucifer and his angels out. And all pain is a result of Satan now trying to take it out on God's people and God's creation from the day that he got beat in the war of Isaiah 14. And so, you know, Satan has been taking POWs ever since. I have a question for you today, though. Are you a POW in the war that rages between the forces of good and evil? Are you a POW? Oh, I'm not talking about necessarily in the physical sense like Mr. Buckles was a POW in World War II. I'm asking you, are you a POW in the war that rages between the holy God of the universe and old smutty face, the devil, his enemy? Let me see if I can explain what I mean. Is your soul a POW? Is your soul a prisoner of war? The Bible says in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, Jesus Christ is the truth. And if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul can be free to go on to heaven one day when you die. But I ask you this question today. Does Satan have your soul? Are you a prisoner of war to Satan? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know, then you're a POW to Satan. See, the Bible teaches there's one of two places for us to go in eternity. One is heaven, the other is hell. You say, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And those that have not been saved, their souls are captive. They're POWs to Satan, and they're captive there. You could be a POW because maybe you're depending on baptism to get you to heaven. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You're in a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist preacher. We have a baptistry. But getting in the baptistry has never saved anyone. It's never assured anyone a place in heaven. That water back there does not save people. That merely is a step of obedience that comes after salvation. You can get baptized in every lake, pond, and puddle and know every tadpole by its first name and still die and go to hell because you don't go to heaven because you got baptized. And this is a Baptist church. No, you go to heaven because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be a POW today. Your soul may be on its way to hell because you thought baptism would get you to heaven, but it won't. You might be a church member, but did you know that you could be a POW at a church membership because your soul will die and go to hell if all you have done is join some church somewhere? That won't get you to heaven. Now, I think you ought to be a member of the church, but being a member of a church has never saved anybody. You can have your name on the membership roll of every church in this county and still die and go to hell because church membership never saved anybody. You may be a POW because you took communion once. Somebody told you, take communion, and this will get rid of your sins. I'm sorry, you can drink all the Welch's grape juice that Welch has ever invented, and every saltine cracker that saltine ever created, and that you'll still die and go to hell, because communion never saved anybody. Baptism never saved anybody. Being a church member never saved anybody. You say, but I do good deeds. I'm glad you do, and so do the Boy Scouts. Well, they used to. I hope they still do. Yeah, Brother Guin was in the military. I know y'all didn't know that. He didn't get a book earlier. He was a member of the Brownies when he was a child. And you ought to see him in his skirt. No, you shouldn't. That'd be nasty. Is your soul a POW? Are you a prisoner of war to Satan? Are you not born again? If that be the case, maybe you thought, well, I do good deeds. I'm glad you do. And this is one church that believes in good deeds. But it is not your good deeds that will get you to heaven. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy. It is the grace of God that saves you, not the goodness of man that saves you. I do want you to do good deeds, but Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. He was the one doing the good deeds to save you. You don't do the good deeds to save yourself. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you're not born again today, and it is because you have a fear that God does not want you. Well, I've got good news for you. If that is your fear, God wants you, and God wants you to heaven. God wants to save you. Maybe it is a fear that you say, well, I don't think I can do it. You don't have to do it. He does it. You do all the letting. He does all the saving. You just let Him save you, and He'll save you. He'll help you. Salvation is a change of destiny. You were on your way to hell. You got saved, and now you're on your way to heaven. And if you want God to help you, He can help you to clean up your journey on your way to heaven, but He does the saving. Maybe it will be your fear of man. Maybe you're a POW today and on your way to hell because you have a fear of man. Maybe you're afraid to get saved. Maybe you're afraid of what somebody would think. Maybe you're in this building today and you're not born again. And later on, we'll give you an opportunity to get born again. But you're afraid. You're afraid what somebody would think. You're afraid what somebody might think of you. You listen to me. Hell is not worth that fear. You need to be born again. Some of you walk into this church service today shackled, underfed, underbathed, scarred, hopeless, and a hell-bound sinner. Let me tell you what you could do. You could break loose of being a POW of Satan. You could get born again today. You could walk out born again, heaven-bound, a freed child of God, because when you know the truth can make you free, and it is Jesus Christ that is the truth. Someone said, hell? Hell's got to be basic training. No, I don't think so. I have a story from a veteran. He said, one of the many duties we were required to perform during basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky, was to rake up leaves around the post. Our drill sergeant would scream that he wanted every leaf swept into a pile. Once, he found a lone leaf that my group had missed. Turning to the private next to me, the sergeant pointed out and pointed to that one leaf and roared, "Well, what is this, soldier?" That scared new recruit said, "Sir, that's a leaf pile of one, sir." He said, hell has got to be basic training. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You might have thought it while you were going through it, but that's not the case. Is your soul a POW? Does Satan have your soul if you're not born again? May I recommend to you Jesus Christ, and you get the freedom that you need and have a place in heaven someday? Are you a POW to Satan because of your past? Because of your past? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things which are before." Here the writer said, I have put my past behind me. I'm going to go on and do something for God with my life. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice on the main floor, in the balcony, the speakers that go to the other services, in the choir. There are probably people here. You're a POW to Satan because he is holding your past against you. Has Satan handcuffed you to your past failures? and made you a prisoner? Have you tried to bury your past, but your captor seems to dig it up each time? Does Satan have you pinned using the barbed wire of your past? Well, I've got good news for you today. Your God is a forgiving God. He will forgive you so you can go on with your life. And I don't want you to be a POW to Satan because of things that you have done in your past. God will help you to leave your past behind you. All you need to do is ask His forgiveness, and He will take a shovel and help you to bury your past so deep that it will never haunt you again. God's good at that. If you're born again here today, you're already saved. May I recommend that you not let Satan seal your future because he holds your past against you. If you're unsaved today, why don't you get saved and let God forgive you of your past, and then you can put it behind you. God's forgiveness will be the wire cutters that will snip the barbed wire of your past failures so you may escape the devil's torture. Good people are forgiving people. May I say to every guest that is in this building, you are in a church full of people that understand forgiveness. We're not a bunch of Pharisees that walk around and look down our nose to people that have made mistakes. You're sitting in a congregation of born-again Christians that still fight the battle of sin in our lives. You say, would this congregation want me to be a part? Yes, we would. You say, but you don't know my past. And to be real honest with you, it does not matter. God will give you a new chance, and you're in a church that'll give you a new chance. Every one of us have a tendency to do wrong, and even my congregation knows this. When our congregation falls, we're there to give them a helping hand and lift them up and give them another chance. Church is full of Pharisees that when people fall on their face, everybody attacks them when they're down. Hey, I don't believe in killing your own wounded. Around here, we make mistakes, and when our people do, we try to help them get back up. Now, that does not mean I won't preach against sin. I preach on sin, and you say, why? Because sin is what will destroy you. Sin is what will hurt you. It is sin that will knock you down, but it's not our job to knock you down. It's our job to help you up, and if you feel like you're a POW to your past, you're in a good place. Hey, we've got medics here. You're in a military hospital, and we can heal your heart, and we can heal your life, and we can help put you back together again as the devil takes the knife of your past and stabs you in the back over and over again. We'll disarm. Come on around and see what a church full of forgiving people could do for you. We've learned to give a second chance and a third and a fourth. Satan comes and brainwashes you into believing that God could never use you because of your past. Well, may I tell you something? May I tell on the liar Satan? If he's been telling you, you could never be used of God, you're a no-count, worthless person, and you don't need church or God because they could never use you, the devil is a liar. And as long as you're still breathing air, God has a purpose for your life. Now, not everybody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And we're a bunch of sinners that meet every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and get the courage to go up and fight the devil, fight the battle with the devil. And when our people are wounded, we don't take them out and shoot them. We bring them in here and doctor them up and love them and give them another chance. Are you a POW to Satan because of your past? I feel for you if that's the case. Are you a POW to Satan because of your pride? Has your pride become your captor? Has Satan used your pride, sir, or your pride, ma'am, to capture you? Oh, teenager that sits under the sound of my voice today, has your pride taken over your life? The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 18, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Will pride keep you from getting saved today? You wouldn't want to get saved because it might embarrass your pride. Has your pride taken you captive? Hey, church member, maybe there's a church member here today, and you've never been born again. Oh, you got your name on the roll. You might have gotten baptized, but those things don't save you. You might have gone through all the religious routine, but you get saved by meeting with the God of the universe, realizing you're a sinner, realizing that Jesus died for sinners, realizing that sinners go to hell, and you cried out to him one day and say, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior. That's how you get saved. But somebody here, you're already on the church roll. You've already been baptized. You come to church all the time. Will your pride keep you from getting saved because maybe you've never really done that? Maybe somehow you went through the religious routine without ever meeting the Savior. And if you've done that, will your pride keep you from getting saved? Have you developed has your pride caused you to develop a POW's attitude about, well, I'm distanced, and because of the distance that I have, I don't need any help. You know, sometimes our pride makes us to think, I don't need any help. I'll learn to fence for myself. Do you not need the church? Have you developed an attitude that you don't need the church? Well, are you the kind that comes to church at Christmas, Easter, and some special occasion? You think that church is only for the weak because they need a crutch. You're right. Everybody needs a crutch, but my crutch is Jesus Christ. That's who my crutch is. You say, Brother Owens, church is full of hypocrites, and you don't want to be a hypocrite. You know something? You have to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. The church is full of hypocrites. Well, really what our church is full of, a whole bunch of people that are trying, and we're not perfect. And every once in a while, we do make some mistakes and do some dumb things, but we don't walk around saying, well, I think I just want to be a hypocrite. I think that's just what I want to be. No, we're a bunch of human beings on a course that's a little bit difficult, and along the way, the devil comes along, and he tries to trip us up, and we mess up. But we're not perfect and never claim to be. The only person that's perfect around here is Jesus Christ. We're just a bunch of born-again sinners that are doing our best to serve the God that saved us. That's all. You say, a bunch of hypocrites. You got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. Hey, and if you know how it's done, come show us. Come show us. Does your pride tell you that you don't need a man of God to lead you? You say, I don't need no man of God. They're all phonies. Well, you know something? I'm not perfect. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm not a phony. I'm not a phony. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not stealing money from my church. I get on my face before my God every day of my life. I've asked God to control my mind, my body. And you might think I'm being arrogant, but I'll tell you something. I'm real. I'm real. I am not perfect, but I love God. And I mean it. The church is not a game to me. I'm not in this profession because of the big bucks I'm pulling down. God knows that's not true. I'm here today because I love my God. Because as a 16-year-old boy, I was called to preach. I think it's the most honored position that a man can fill on the face of the earth. I'd rather be a preacher than president. Amen. You say, oh, those preachers are all phonies. Well, you met one that's not. And I do not say that to set myself up. I just say that to defend the fact that I'm as real as I know how to be. Your pride, are you a POW to your pride? Much like a POW, your pride has separated you from much needed fellowship with good Christians. There's some of you, you need some godly friends. And you really have none. You need somebody that's real. Not somebody that claims to be perfect, but somebody that claims to have a perfect God. Your pride, some of you, your pride has put you in solitary confinement. You're so distanced from Christian people. You trust only you. You love only you. You believe in only you. You depend on only you. You care for only you. And you are so full of you, you're sick of you. And you don't even trust you. You're sick of yourself. Let me tell you something. Why don't you let Jesus break you out of the prison camp of your pride? Why don't you let the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church help you to escape the shackles of your pride? Allow the Christian friends of this church to unlock pride's handcuffs. I beg for the chance as a pastor to release you from pride's torture chamber. Climb through the escape tunnel of humility and decide that you do need God and you do need church and you do need a pastor and you do need some Christian friends. We all come across like we're so tough, but I got news for you. We're a bunch of wounded human beings trying to make it through this life, and we all need somebody to reach out and give a helping hand. And that's what the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is. That's what this place is. You see, I believe there are people here today, they're POWs to Satan, and their soul is on its way to hell. I believe there are POWs in this building today that are POWs because of their past, and their past is pulling them down. I believe there are POWs in this building today that are POWs to their pride. Maybe you feel like you're a POW to your sin. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you're a born-again Christian today, with the help of Jesus Christ, you can win the war over your sin. I said you can. You can do it, Christian. You say, by myself? No. Christians don't get much done by themselves, but the mighty Captain Jesus Christ can step in and you can get the victory over your sin. To the unsaved, you will suffer constant failure in overcoming your sin because you do not have the help of Jesus Christ. But when the day you get born again, the mighty Captain will move into your heart and you'll find an inner strength that you've never recognized before. Do you feel captive to your hatefulness? Do you feel captive to booze or drugs or dishonesty? Do you feel like you're a POW to hurting the ones that you love? Has your inconsistency caused you to feel like you're captive to it? Or is it your pride? Is it your immorality or your unkindness or your anger and your temper? And you feel, I just feel I'm captive to that. You've been taken POW by your sin. What vice has become your prison guard? Well, I've got good news for you today, because through Jesus Christ, you can conquer. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. You can have victory over your sin. You can win your battle over sin. You can overcome your sin. You can control your sin with God's help. You can become the dictator over your sin with God's help. You can command your sin with the help of Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. I don't believe you can do anything you think you can. That's called humanism. I think you can do anything your God thinks you can. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved so you can get God's help and you can claim some of the promises I just gave to God's people. If you're saved, it's time for some of you to break out of Satan's war camp of sin by getting yourself into church regularly. You need a little more basic training, and none of us graduate out of the basic training of Christianity. We all need church. Some of you need to break out of Satan's war camp by reading your Bible every day. Stop taking the book and throwing it on the coffee table and breaking it out three times a year when you went to church on Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, and get the book out. It's a military manual. It'll teach you how to keep your gun clean and how to dress and how to fight the devil. He's your ultimate enemy. You need to quit believing the devil's lie that you can do it by yourself. You will do it with the help of God. And you need to quit believing the devil when he says you can't do it, because you can with God's help. You could break loose from your sin and you need to try again. You say, Brother Owens, I feel like I'm a POW to my mother-in-law. In basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, a soldier received a package from his mother-in-law containing homemade cookies. After roll call, the drill sergeant gave the trainee the choice of throwing the cookies in the trash or eating them while doing 20 one-arm push-ups. To the surprise of all those around, he chose the one-arm push-ups. As everyone watched in amazement, the soldier looked up and said through a mouthful of cookies, this is a breeze compared to what my mother-in-law would do with me if she heard I threw out those cookies. As a POW to your sin, some of you are self-inflicting torture, and it's torture on your family, on your friends, and what little bit of a heart you have left. May I recommend to those of you that feel captive to sin that you let Jesus Christ help you to break loose of that sin. Are you Satan's POW to confusion? You say, Brother Owens, I'm just confused. Life is confusing to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion. And if God is not the author of confusion, I'll guarantee you, it is your captor, the devil, that is confusing you. Has Satan placed landmines all over the path of your decision-making to confuse you? Do you feel like it's whichever route I go, it's not going to turn out right? Well, that is not true. There is one route you can take, and things will turn out the best they can. You say, what is that route? It is salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you're already born again, you getting in line and taking the path where you walk with God, that will help you through the minefield of the devil's confusion. Are you confused by Satan about what is right and who is right? Well, let me clear up your confusion then. God is right. God is right. God's ways are right. God's word is right. God does not want you confused. Let God and His word lead you through Satan's landmines of confusion and straighten out your life. It is Satan that confuses you about your marriage. It is Satan that confuses you about your family. It is Satan that confuses you about your relationships. It is Satan that has you confused about your future. It is Satan that has you confused about your church or your need of a church or need of a pastor. It is Satan that confuses you about your life's purpose. It is Satan that has you confused about what your real responsibilities in life are. It is Satan that has you confused about your soul and its eternal destiny. Won't you stop the confusion and let God release you from being a POW to Satan's camp of confusion? Are you a POW today? I don't think that the only POW is Mr. Buckles today. I don't think this 102-year-old military war hero is the only POW here. I think Satan and the greatest war that's ever been fought in Isaiah 14, where he rose up and he fought God. He's been taking POWs ever since. He wants to take people's souls to hell. He puts them in the prisoner of war camp, and he wants to take them straight to hell. I think some of you are in the POW camp of your past. You're in the POW camp of your pride. You're in the POW camp of your sin. You're in the POW camp of confusion, and it's time for some of you to break loose. It's time for some of you to break loose. Oh, Isaiah 14, the battle between Lucifer and God, the greatest battle and war story in history past. But wait a minute. The greatest war that will ever be fought is yet to come. There is a greater war than Isaiah 14, but it's not here yet. It'll be the war of wars. And that is where Satan and God will have a final showdown. For right now, Satan runs loose and he's trying to build an army that will challenge God again someday. It is called the Battle of Armageddon. That day, all of Satan and his imps of hell and every comrade that he could fight to fight against God will rise up against God. God will not use a nuclear weapon. God will not use a gas or something like Agent Orange or all the scary gases in chemical warfare. God will not use any of that. You say, how in the world will God fight Satan? The Bible says that from the mouth of God will come the word of God. And the word of God will roll forth, and God will conquer Satan and all of his comrades. And that day, the blood will be so deep in that valley that it will come up to the horse's bridle. But that day, the mighty captain, Jesus Christ, will win the greatest war that mankind will have ever seen. And he will conquer Satan, and he will take Satan to hell for all eternity. And all God's people will go to heaven. And the lost will become permanent POWs, spending all eternity in hell with the loser of the war against God. Which side are you on? You a POW? Like I said, there are more POWs in this house than Mr. Buckles. Some of you, listen to this verse. It was my text verse. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. I call the sermon Satan's POWs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. May I first of all ask you, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? I didn't ask if you've been baptized or joined a church or did some good deeds or took communion one day. I didn't ask if you were in a car wreck and you asked God to save your life. We're not talking about the saving of a life. We're talking about the saving of a soul. If you died this day, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? And if you don't know that, you need to get born again. Is there somebody here that would say, preacher, pray for me. I do need to get born again. My soul is captive. I'm a POW to Satan, but I want to get born again. I want to go to heaven someday when I die. And God has definitely spoken to my heart about it today. And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. I see that hand already. I see another hand. I see another hand. Who else? You say, that's what I need. Or will your pride stop you? Who else? You say, that's what I need. I see that hand, sir. I've seen three or four good men's hands. Fantastic. Who else? I see another hand. Who else? You say, I need to be born again. That's what I need. Or will that pride keep you a POW? I see that hand in the back. You say, I would be embarrassed. I wouldn't want anybody to know that I'm not born again. You listen to me. That's what this old church service is, and that's what this old church is all about, keeping people out of hell. Who else would raise your hand and say, I need to be born again? I need to be saved. That's what I need. And you'll join these. I've seen many hands. Who in the congregation would say, Brother Owens, I am born again, but boy, you have spoken my heart today through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Satan's got me a POW in some area of my life, and it's time for me to break free and get this thing straightened out, and you'll raise your hand. I see hands all over this auditorium. You may put those hands down. Let me tell you what we're going to do. In a moment, I'll have the entire congregation stand. After you stand, the men on my platform will leave their seats. They'll go down to the front. At the end of each aisle, they'll be standing there to greet you. If you just raise your hand and said, I need to be born again, I want you to leave your seat. You turn to your right, you'll turn to your left. You come down toward the front. You walk up to one of the men, and they'll be on the front row right here where you can see them. Walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible. In a matter of a few minutes, we'll break you out of the POW camp of a lost soul. We'll get you born again and on your way to heaven. It's very simple. And don't let anything stop you. You step out when we start. In a moment, that old choir is going to begin to sing, and some of you, you're saved, but you're not right with God, and you know it. There's some of you ought to leave your seat, come down here, get on your face, and say, God, you've spoken to my heart today. It's not a coincidence that I'm here. The God of the universe knew I'd be here and knew this sermon would be preached. It's time for me to do some business with God. If you're here and you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism after your salvation, you come. I want the entire congregation to stand at this time with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Men, take your places, and the altar is open. Will you come?